Stanley was still digging. His hole was about 3 feet deep, but only in the center. It sloped upward toward the edges. The sun had only just come up over the horizon, but he already could feel its hot rays against his face. As he reached down to pick up his canteen, he felt a sudden rush of dizziness and put his hands on his knees to steady himself. For a moment, he was afraid that he would throw up, but the moment passed. He drank the last drop of water from his canteen. He had blisters on every one of his fingers and one in the center of each palm. Everyone else's hole was a lot deeper than his. He couldn't actually see their holes, but could tell by the size of their dirt piles. He saw a cloud of dust moving across the wasteland and noticed that the other boys had stopped digging and were watching it too. The dirt cloud moved closer, and he could see that what it trailed behind was a red pickup truck. The truck stopped near where they were digging, and the boys lined up behind it, X-ray in front, Zero at the rear. Stanley got in line behind Zero. Mr. Sir filled each of their canteens from a tank of water in the bed of the pickup. As he took Stanley's canteen from him, he said, "This isn't the Girl Scouts, is it?" Stanley raised and lowered one shoulder. Mr. Sir followed Stanley back to his hole to see how he was doing. "You better get with it," he said, "or else you'll be going to be digging in the hottest part of the day." He popped some sunflower seeds into his mouth, deftly removed the shells with his teeth and spat them into Stanley's hole. Every day, Elliot carried the little piglet up the mountain and sang to it as it drank from the stream. As the pig grew fatter, Elliot grew stronger. On the day of Myra's 15th birthday, Elliot's pig weighed over 50 stones. Madame Zeroni had told him to carry the pig up the mountain on that day as well, but Elliot didn't want to present himself to Myra smelling like a pig. Instead, he took a bath. It was his second bath in less than a week. Then he led the pig to Myra's. Igor Barkov was there with his pig as well. "There are two of the finest pigs I've ever seen," Myra's father declared. He was also impressed with Elliot, who seemed to have grown bigger and stronger in the last 2 months. "I used to think you were a good-for-nothing book reader," he said, "but now I see that you could be an excellent mud wrestler." "May I marry your daughter?" Elliot boldly asked. "First, I must weigh the pigs." Alas, poor Elliot should have carried his pig up the mountain one last time. The pigs weighed exactly the same. Stanley's blisters had ripped open, and new blisters formed. He kept changing his grip on the shovel to try and avoid the pain. Finally, he removed his cap and held it between the shaft of his shovel and his raw hands. This helped, but digging was harder because the cap would slip and slide. The sun beat down on his unprotected head and neck. Though he tried to convince himself otherwise, he'd been aware for a while that his piles of dirt were too close to his hole. The piles were outside his five-foot circle, but he could see that they were going to run out of room. Still, he pretended otherwise and kept adding more dirt to the piles that he eventually would have to move. The problem was that when the dirt was in the ground, it was compacted, expanded when it was excavated. The piles were a lot bigger than his hole was deep. It was either now or later. Reluctantly, he climbed up out of his hole and once again dug his shovel into his previously dug dirt. Myra's father got down on hands and knees and closely examined each pig, tail to snout. "Those are two of the finest pigs I've ever seen," he said at last. "How am I to decide? I have only one daughter." "Why not let Myra decide?" suggested Elliot. "That's preposterous," exclaimed Igor, expelling saliva as he spoke. "Myra is just an empty-headed girl," said his father. "How can she possibly decide when I, her father, can't?" "She knows how she feels in her heart," said Elliot. Myra's father rubbed his chin. Then he laughed and said, "Why not?" He slapped Elliot on the back. "It doesn't matter to me. A pig is a pig." He summoned his daughter. Elliot blushed when Myra entered the room. "Good afternoon, Myra," he said. She looked at him. "You're Elva, right?" she asked. "Myra," said her father, "Elio and Igor have each offered a pig for your hand in marriage. It doesn't matter to me, a pig is a pig, so I will let you make the choice. Whom do you wish to marry?" Myra looked confused. "You want me to decide?" "That's right, my blossom," said her father. "Gee, I don't know," said Myra. "Which pig weighs more?" "They both weigh the same," said her father. "Golly," said Myra. "I guess I choose Elio. No, Igor. No, Elio. No, Igor. No, I'll think of a number between 1 and 10. I'll marry whoever guesses the closest number." "Okay, I'm ready." 10, guessed Igor. Elliot said nothing. "Elliot," said Myra, "what number do you guess?" Elliot didn't pick a number. "Marry Igor," he muttered. "You can keep my pig as a wedding present." The next time the water truck came, it was driven by Mr. Pendansky, who also brought back sack lunches. Stanley sat with his back against a pile of dirt and ate. He had a bologna sandwich, potato chips, and a large chocolate chip cookie. "How are you doing?" asked Magnet. "Not real good," said Stanley. "Well, the first hole's the hardest," said Magnet. Stanley took a long, deep breath. He couldn't afford to dawdle. He was way behind the others, and the sun just kept getting hotter. It wasn't even noon yet, but he didn't know if he had the strength to stand up. He thought about quitting. He wondered what they would do to him. What could they do to him? His clothes were soaked with sweat. In school, he had learned that sweating was good for you. It was nature's way of keeping you cool. So why was he so hot? His shoulders He managed to get to his feet. "Where are we supposed to go to the bathroom?" he asked Magnet. He gestured with his arms at the great expanse around them. "Pick a hole, any hole," he said. Stanley staggered across the lake, almost falling over a dirt pile. Behind him, he heard Magnet say, "But first, make sure nothing's living in it."